This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's now time for local poetry and discussion on Beyond Rhyme.
Welcome to Beyond Rhyme for May 2021. Hey, 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 it's May. That's my rhyming poem for the day. Just hope you're keeping warm. Well, it's cold in the mornings, but it's definitely warm in the afternoons. How are you finding the weather, Camilla?
So far, so good. You know, yeah, not too bad, but this is not real winter, is it? We're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the lead-in to the getting colds and sniffles and hot water bottles and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I'd just like to welcome our wonderful guest, Mark. How's Mark today?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
That's great. Good. And great. You've got some poetry for us today.
Yes, I've got a few here to share with yourself. Yeah.
Could you tell us how long you've been writing for?
About 12, 13 years.
Wow.
Nice.
Just quietly in the back blocks of my own, we will.
Yeah.
As a hobby, as a...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got your own box of tricks, I see.
Yeah, the complete works of Mark I Am.
Wow. Yeah,
I call that box. It's everything I've ever written, one copy of it goes in there.
Yes.
Yes.
You're very organised. Very organised and disciplined. That's great that you managed to keep everything, you know, in one place. Yeah.
Well, I try.
And I saw your name on the Mad Poets website. You emailed us and said you'd like to go onto the show, so welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, what a privilege for us, isn't it, Alan?
Yes.
Just before we're having a chat, and you said that you haven't shared.
I went to Mad Poets once and shared.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a couple of times and just observed.
Yes.
But great springboard into the world, that place.
Yes.
Mm. And it's led me here. So.
Fantastic.
How did you find standing on a stage, a small stage, and talking through the microphone? Was it quite nerve-wracking?
Yeah, scary, yes. Not really my cup of tea. I'm more sort of a one-man band, and by one-man band, I mean I'm also the audience as well as the performer. I like it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that's what I'm used to. So, it was very scary, but also empowering once I'd done it. You know what I mean?
Empowering, that's a good word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did it make you want to do it again, or...? Read poetry out in front of the microphone, in front of people?
It definitely lit that fire of possibility, you know, and I guess that's why I'm here today. It's part of what got me here. Otherwise, I'd be still stuck at home, tippy-tapping on the keyboard, you know, just...
Well, Beyond Rhyme is a forum for poets to come along and share their poetry as a voice of poetry to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do, and you're our guest today. So we wish you the best in the program.
Yeah, and we embrace, you know, any stage of your writing, or whatever stage of your writing you're in. We love to hear from you. Mm. Yeah, from all of you.
And you like to rhyme your poetry? Some rhymes and some.
Yeah, I think most of mine have got a rhyme to them.
Rhythm and rhyme.
I don't know why that is. I actually sometimes, to be honest, feel as if I'm just tapping the keyboard. Somebody from inside is writing the writing the words. Sometimes I don't even understand my own writing processes.
Yes.
It just comes from observation, you know, will inspire some things.
And
or
you do,
events.
You do what I do. You type your poetry up nice and neat. I've got a printer at home, so I type all my poetry up and put it onto paper that way.
Yeah, I do that, yes. Mm. And sometimes, first of all, it goes onto notes on my phone, notepad, because I'm out in the bed. I'm out and about. So it'll be... Put the inspiration there and then take it home. Sometimes rework it, but most often not.
Wow.
most often I just spill it out upon the page and leave it.
So from what you're telling us, it's sort of like you've got a hidden gift that just expresses itself when you go to write poetry. It's more about the process of the writing.
It's almost the having to get it out.
Mm.
You know, it's not the having to get it out is how I feel.
Mm.
That's my writing
process. So it builds up in you.
Yeah, I'll perhaps see something or go somewhere and experience something, and that will perhaps inspire a phrase or a thought, and it'll churn over in my little brain without in the back blocks there, and then pop.
Pop.
Yeah, pop. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like a gender surprise party for poetry.
Gender surprise. I love that.
Pop goes the bling. Oh, it's a poem. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wonderful. Yeah.
Before we hear one of your lovely poems, I'd just like to shout out to Scorpio Books, who sponsor the program. I read in their website that they've been going about 40 years and they did have a shop in Riccarton, which I don't think they have anymore.
No, I don't.
No, so it's just the 120 Hereford Street.
Mm-hmm.
They've combined both shops into one. And there's books there from cooking books to mathematical books and non-fiction and fiction, of course, history, poetry, short stories, novels, you name it, it's in the store. And I encourage you to go in there even if you just want to have a look and sort out what you might want to buy in the future. So thank you, Scorpio Books. Mark, would you like to share us a poem?
Yeah, I'd like to share, first off, the one I wrote this morning, which, surprisingly, was inspired by being invited here. Mm-hmm. So I woke up this morning and this is what fell out upon the page, as it were. It is untitled. That's another thing. I don't often title them until weeks or days later.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how it goes. So, filled with fear and trepidation, as today I address the Plains FM nation, taking my chance to expose my spin upon the art of prose. Timing and rhyming all have a part in my version of this ancient art. From heart to page, emotions travel, all to preserve a mind that in any moment may unravel. A way to express thoughts and notions, the mixture of word and emotion often creating a powerful potion. Of insight and inspiration, this my hope, as I address the Plains FM nation.
Wow. Mm. Beautiful.
I mark my name.
We don't often have a poem about writing poetry as such, but you've described your processes with writing poetry very, very well in that poem, and it's a very light aspect to it when you say the Plains FM nation. I quite like that line.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah. It fitted, shall we say. And is it not your nation? Is not your listening audience your nation?
Mm.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the fear and intrepidation, what was it about?
Well, push out the boat and you always wonder if it's going to sink or float. and this is a new experience for me.
That's good.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we can definitely sense the rhythm and your familiarity with the rhyming process. Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, perhaps it's been having all my life pretty much listening to Eminem on the radio.
Eminem?
I don't know. No, I doubt that.
Camilla and I were talking about lyrics to songs and how they rhyme, but you could almost turn that into a song, couldn't you, if you had music?
I've always considered lyrics poetry to music, though. So
two different things.
Just the same thing in two different formats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even music, to my ear, is a form of poetry in itself.
I agree.
I've seen poetry as an expression of perfection, in a sense where... I don't know if you've seen those dancing diggers.
Oh, yes.
The three different sized diggers, and they start spinning around to, I think it's Swan Lake or some such, because I'm not too up on me, that sort of music. But not long into it, for me anyway, the mind stopped perceiving them as diggers as the music took over the interpretation process, I guess. And so they stopped being diggers and started to become some flowing sort of poetic expression of the music that you're hearing. That's poetry.
It is. It's beauty, isn't it? It's beauty.
Again, poetry.
Yep.
Beauty, physical poetry, visual poetry.
Would a hummingbird staying stationary and flapping its wings really fast, would that be poetry, do you think? You know,
well,
like a hummingbird.
Birds are of nature.
Yeah.
What if nature could not be poetry?
Mm.
One might ask, you know? That's how I sort of... Those are the lenses for my glasses, anyway, for life. You know, I look at things like that all the time. A little bit left field. I mean, I asked one time conversationally amongst my friends, I said, what would you guys think if I said that a cube had eight sides?
What's their reaction?
Pretty much Alan's reaction.
I was thinking, aren't there six?
Yes, but then there's two sides, and they're actually, the, by definition, in my head anyway, as I look at things, the two sides that are most overlooked and never mentioned are the two sides that create the form you're looking at anyway. And that's the inside and the outside. And they must be sides. It's in the name, surely. But I digress. We're here for poetry.
Well, no, that is poetry.
Very insightful.
That is very insightful, yeah.
And do you know what? I think that poetry is, I like when you define poetry as... Well, as I would call beauty, but no, it is poetry. Nature is poetry, because I think poetry is the culmination of the beauty of words, isn't it? It's like, it's the condensation, because poetry, good poetry, I think, is like it condenses everything that is beautiful in a few words, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
He agreed!
It has, yeah. That is definitely because the more condensed something is, one could say, the more pure it is. And the more pure it is, when we're talking of something, beauty, poetry, nature, you know. An animal, for example, is of nature. But there is a distinct difference. For example, in the eyes of a lion that is caged and a lion that has never been caged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Very profound. And I think it's a great time for a song, isn't it, Alan?
Okay, we'll move into some music now. Take a little break. Hope you're enjoying the show, audience.
I am.
A Rush of Blood to the Head by?
Coldplay.
Take it away, Coldplay.
He said, I'm gonna buy this place and burn it down. I'm gonna put it 6 feet underground. He said, I'm gonna buy this place and watch it fall. Stand here beside me, baby, in the crumbling walls. Oh, I'm gonna buy this place and start a fire. Stand here until I feel all your heart's desires. Because I'm gonna buy this place and see it burn. And do back the things it did to you in return. Said I'm gonna buy a gun and start. last place is what I say. Blame it upon a rush of blood today.
Welcome back to Beyond Rhyme. It's time for more rhyme. Here we go, back with Mark, our current artist, being interviewed by Camilla and myself. Take it away, Mark. Have you got another poem?
Yeah, I have got one here. Another one. I call it Truth. It goes, I hear your words, I see your actions, I sometimes even feel your emotions, but only when all three send the same message. Can I believe you? Truth.
Very good.
Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit about what inspired
I can. One of my children came to me one day and asked me, Dad, how do you know if people are real? Like, you know, if they're telling you the truth or not? And I thought to myself, good question, I don't have an answer for that. But my child. So I just fell out. And after I told my daughter that, I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I now, in my own way, I think I use that as a template when I interact with people and think, you know, yeah. Okay. Use it to see truth in events, like the news and stuff like that, because quite often when people say things, it's not really what they're saying, which is sad, but
I must admit I told a white lie to my boss because I didn't want to be told off by him. It's like the father son thing, and then because I told a white lie, he accused me of lying. So it's a no-win situation, really, in some circumstances.
Does he listen to the show?
Oh, hi.
I like what Mark did that. It's like a good description of integrity, isn't it? It's like when all those things merge, when they all combine, that's when you're really
can give over your true belief to that.
Yeah, it's a good.
I feel your emotions is pretty powerful.
Mm. Well, yeah. Even there, I think I'm trying to say something else, which is the intent of their actions.
Mm.
I mean, you can have two people do the same thing for two different reasons.
Oh, yes.
So which reason is that person doing that for?
Absolutely.
Their emotions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which emotions within themselves are they stimulating?
Yeah.
It was written in a more darker time, I guess, as I say, I was talking to my daughter, so a very protective mindset, a very err on the side of caution, sort of a.
It's either like we tend to write the most powerful stuff either from a place of doubt or faith, isn't it? Is either.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that one was a more, as you said, dark, probably a more doubtful stage.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the word, you'll probably disagree, but I think it's manipulation in terms of somebody standing there with the ropes just pulling and pushing you all over the place and there's no trust there. There's no.
That's kind of, I think, part of it in that. Perhaps it's a tool, because I was speaking to my daughter, so perhaps a tool to prevent that from happening to her. As in, baby, if you look at the situation or the person with this template and they don't fit into it, they're a little bit over the lines, then perhaps they've got their hands on some strings in your world. And because I don't think anybody really wants that for their children.
No.
I certainly don't. And so arm them with discernment, I guess.
Mm. So just as an aside, how did you go at English at school? How long did you last at school? Were you good at English or?
Yes, no. I have a very fond memory of my third form English teacher, George Carr. And if you're out there, Mr. Carr, thank you very much. because he used to, in his classroom, he had sayings and proverbs all around the top of the thing, like silence is, speech is silver, but silence is golden.
Mm.
You know, he who sits and watches a 21-inch screen develops a 26-inch butt. And I'm a third former watching this, reading this on a, but there was sense to those things. So, and I think that's where all this came from.
So Mr. Carr would be proud of you now?
Oh, well, I would like to think so. But shall we say we had a strained relationship at the time.
Strained, yeah.
Because one of the things he taught me also in practice was, and it's an arguable point, but there's only two things in life you have to do, Mark, he said. And I'm, what are they? And he goes, you have to die and you have to take the consequences for the things you don't do. And I thought, oh, okay. And then he says to me, have you done your homework? No. Should we go and get... And taking the consequences, if you're prepared to take the consequences for something, wow. And that's one of the things he taught me. I was 13, 14. Yeah. Mm. So, yes, but as far as my own performance in English, no, not very flash at all. I mean, I was pretty much finished with school in the first term of the fourth form. So
your use of language is awesome, and it made me think that perhaps you'd pick some things up at high school. Yeah.
And most of it that you enjoy it, you know, that you're having fun with the words. And I think
it's a release.
Yeah, it's a release.
Every poem is a scream upon a screaming tree, you know? To just get it out, the angst.
Was it Mr. Kerr? your teacher?
Mr. Carr.
Carr, yeah. Well, I reckon he'll be very proud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the things that, what did he say? The two certain things. You're going to die.
Die.
And the consequences
and you have
of
to
the
take
things.
The consequences of the things you don't do.
You don't do. And look at what you're doing now. You're here.
So, yeah.
Sharing your poetry with us.
And,
so.
And looking back, because, you know, wisdom of hindsight. And I think as a teacher, he was probably saying, you've got to fulfill your obligations, otherwise you don't get the reward. Do your homework, you'll get an A.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher, from a teacher's point of view, I don't know, but yeah, that's what I tell myself.
So was it an event or a happening that led you to start writing poetry, or was it just something that you always wanted to do and you finally found the confidence to do it? Or
I think it was more just an event, a timing thing. Ducks in a row, it just happened. I was, regrettably, I was in jail at the time and wrote something as a bit of amusement. And then I wrote something as a bit of a political thing, a statement on the state of our nation. And from my point of view, and of course, you know, I read it again and thought, oh, that's pretty good. I quite like that. And I showed it to a couple of people and that I was sharing my time with at the time. And when you know you're onto something, when a big, hairy, scary guy covered in tattoos goes,
oh,
that's pretty good, bro, wiping a tear from his eye. And you're like, hey.
And oh, that's so beautiful.
That's when I thought, oh, I might have a little bit of a magic potion in the end of my pencil and keep writing. But more of a, yeah, I finally found my niche, perhaps.
Mm.
I felt a little bit of that
mm.
because to be able to invoke emotions from people is powerful.
Very powerful.
Would you consider putting your poetry into a book?
Well, I tell myself I'm currently writing a book. It's because I'm collecting some and going, oh, that will go in the book. But as to whether I'll ever get a book written, well, you know, who knows? I mean, would I like to? I'd love to.
Yeah. You know. Not to talk too much about myself, but I self-published a book and made about 40 copies and just gave it to family and friends, and they were quite appreciative of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got family and friends that are going, is it coming out yet? Yeah. So in the wings of waiting. But I think to myself, are they really, you know, avid, like, or are they just supporting their friend? Which, either way, for me, great, but both good things.
Poetry to me is, I've got poetry books at home. You can just pluck one out of the bookcase and just have a browse of a poem or two and see how you react to it emotionally. And
yeah, I think poems are like music. They have the ability to change, well, for me, my mood like that, you know, because they'll take my mindset. I'll read a poem about the beach, for instance. I'm almost at the beach. I'm almost tired because, you know, I'm almost feeling that tiredness you feel when you go to the beach and then leave again. Yeah, powerful stuff.
Mm. Have you got another poem for us?
Sure.
Mark?
This one here I call The Oak, and it goes like this. With water and water, soil and light, from the acorn comes the great oak's might. So simple it all may seem, until the waters no longer teem, or the soil infertile be, and the light so low, not enough to see. Yet in these conditions, if the acorn does endure, the true might of the oak we see for sure.
Wow. So it's surviving, isn't it, in the environment?
It's an acknowledgement that those in a position of ideal conditions to succeed is almost an expectation. Those that are in bad soil, bad light, if they succeed and end up on the same level as the plant with all that tender, loving care going into it, surely that's an expression of the true tenacity, the true power within that acorn.
Hmm. Would you be able to read that again, Mark, sure. please?
With water, soil, and light, from the acorn comes the great oak's might. So simple it all may seem, until the waters no longer teem, or the soil infertile be, the light so low, not enough to see. Yet in these conditions, if the acorn does endure, the true might of the oak we see for sure.
Mm. If the rains don't come,
yeah,
nothing happens.
You would expect the acorn may wither and die,
mm.
and then there's a drop of rain, and an acorn, a oak tree
mm.
is in your backyard. Wow! And, you, mm. And if you then take the time to remember the acorn that you had written off because of the lack of rain, you have to doff your hat to that acorn.
Mm.
He survived.
An acorn is a oval-shaped thing with shiny crust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hard, acorn. And hard. It's the seed of the oak tree.
Yes.
So.
Oh, well done. We'll enter into another song now. Thank you, Mark. And we're going to hear a Dunedin band called The Clean. Some of you may remember The Clean. Anything Could Happen. Take it away. Welcome back to Beyond Rome. It's still autumn and we're getting some good afternoons, as I said earlier. Welcome back to Mark and Camilla. Mark, do you have another poem for us?
Yeah, I've got this one here. It's called Punctuation's Power. And just before I read it, just for the benefit of the listeners, because it's not really a radio poem, it's all written in lowercase and there's no punctuation in this poem. I think that's kind of an important aspect of it, as it is a little bit of a visual poem. And it goes like this. Punctuation's power. On the hunt for that new phrase, that new linguistic craze, of the all-encompassing kind, that one that strikes both heart and mind, elusive to find, yet so quick to catch, a phrase and sentiment that match, that delivers that desired result. Followers one thing, but no one wants a cult. The power of a word is in the delivery, some say, but I put it down to the company it keeps any day. A word alone may make a stand, this is truth, but add a little punctuation and its meaning goes through the roof. Comma, quotation marks, or vocal inflection, no matter which, add your punctuation with conviction. As I reflect upon all I have written and all I have said, decision made, matter put to bed. Now, instead of hunting the creation of that new phrase, I shall make punctuation my new craze.
Cool. Don't give me that look. I love it. And I am a punctuation and grammar affectionate. So, yeah, I love everything grammar. And so there is no punctuation at all?
None. Which okay. is sort of a... I like things that are, have depth where, mm-hmm. like some artists, they'll draw a picture or paint a picture and you'll look at it and you'll see it for what it is, for what you see. Mm-hmm. And then you'll look at it again and you'll see something that you never saw before.
Mm.
And so the layers, I like to, sometimes they come out and it's, oh yeah, I can see what I'm getting. Where there's, like this one, there's no punctuation. So as you're reading it, you can sort of see that mm-hmm. the writer, which in this case was me, doesn't use punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
But you would assume by the end of the poem
mm-hmm.
that his next one would be full of punctuation,
mm-hmm.
Well, which is you can't write that.
Yep.
Which is why I took the time to try and explain it to your listeners before I read the poem.
I love how you have fun with language in general. You know, that's what I get most of your poems. Like, you are exploring language through the playful features of language.
Yeah.
And that is so beautiful. It's very refreshing as well, not just use constantly the same methods, but, you know, exploring and making a point that punctuation is so valuable.
Well, yeah. What do they say? I think I've heard this somewhere. Work is never fun and fun is never work.
Mm.
Or is it the other way around? It makes sense to me. Do you know, like if you're having fun,
mm-hmm.
even if you're at work,
yeah.
are you really working?
Yeah. But, do you do much research when you're writing? Like, do you do research to add stuff on your poem? Like, if you find, oh, I forgot what's the name of that punctuation, I better go and check. And
I, Grammarly?
Yeah.
Great friend. And mm-hmm. other than that, no. I don't really... I don't often rework anything. It just
mm-hmm.
become. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll think, hey, actually, I'll go back and I'll change that. But then in my view on that, I'm not changing it. I'm just finishing it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
No. Without realizing it, what I thought was a finished work is just a work in progress.
That is a very sophisticated skill, you know. You need to have a lot of experience to get that feel, you know, and say, okay, that's not finished yet. And sharing with other people helps as well.
Yeah, that's new to me. Yeah. See, this is the whole sharing thing is new. This is just observational thoughts put on mm-hmm. paper.
Alan, you're allowed to talk.
I was just thinking your poem was at least, I don't know what the equivalent is today because I'm an old fella. Seventh form English, it would have superseded seventh form English, that poem.
Well, as I say, I got to the first term of the fourth form, so wow. Yes. That's cool. Perhaps you're right. The insights, George would be proud.
Yeah, the insights in that poem, you know, they're just brilliant. Yeah.
Thank you.
Could you read part of it again? I'd just love to hear the lack of punctuation as it comes across.
Insane.
What
that.
Part would you like to?
Sorry, no, you go.
What part?
I just feel whatever you feel comfortable with.
A word alone may make a stand. This is the truth. But add a little punctuation and its meaning goes through the roof.
Yeah.
I think
it does.
If I'm going to paraphrase that poem, that would be the phrase to use out of it to encompass the whole meaning of it.
Mm. Nice.
And how long does it take you to write? That's a longer poem. How long did it take you to write that?
I don't think I've ever written a poem that took me more than 10 minutes to write.
Nice.
From picking up the, you know, I write on a keyboard, of course, but to express what I mean, from picking up the pen to signing it off, 10 minutes. The mental processes, weeks, sometimes months. Well, actually, I'd have to be honest and say my entire life up until the point I picked up the pen. To write that poem, because everything could be said at some point influenced. Everything written today is influenced by something happening yesterday. How far back? Well, it's, you know, but...
So. I can relate to that. I wrote a poem recently and I probably sat on the idea for about a month before I actually wrote it.
Did you bring it with you?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll hear another poem from Mark.
Mark. We were waiting for it, weren't we, Mark?
Okay. This is one I don't know where it came from, but as in what my inspiration was for it, I think. But once I'd written it and made friends with it, you know, introduced myself to it and met it, as it were, I started to consider it my ode to feminism, which I don't know. Sorry if that phrase is not right. But it goes like this. God takes naps. Mother Nature is the artist I truly admire, for what else can create both ice and fire? God is an answer, I must admit, though behind every great man does a woman sit, busily toiling to make it all happen, as God is a man is often called napping.
That is really, that's, beyond, I think it goes beyond feminism. It just goes like to basic laws of nature, like of the parts that complete each other, right?
I see it all the time, like earthquakes. That Mother Nature's domain. And in some respects, I think they can be, you could draw a picture of Mother Nature waking up a sleeping husband. Honey, honey. Perhaps.
That's a very interesting. Yeah, we'll think of that in the next aftershock.
What is a proverb? Is it similar to a proverb? If you know what a proverb is.
Yeah, I do. But I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, that's God takes naps is almost a proverb, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Do you know what a proverb is, Mark?
I know it's a proverb, but I don't know which one you're talking about.
No, I actually don't, not by definition, but I know what I call a proverb.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rhyme that comes out of the Bible. It's got a moral story behind it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what I think they are. But, yeah.
There's two stories there. There's a surface story about...
Multi-layered is
one. Yeah, multi-layered.
I like that multi-layered thing where often I talk in, what are they called? Metaphor. Just, I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. But that's just how I...
process
the phrase, it's like, will probably be etched on my tombstone. It is like, because I think something I was taught, I think it was by George Carr, actually, now that I think about him, and he said, the art of communication is not that you're under, is not that, not just that you are heard and understood, but that you hear and understand the other. So to know that you're understood is important. To know that the message you're sending is the message that's received. And I think that's the power of metaphor.
Mm.
If you can, like, for example, talking to a mechanic and you're talking to him about something non-mechanic, if you can liken it to the mechanical world,
mm-hmm.
you then know that he will understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Which school did you go to?
Nelson College.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in the end. So
but before that,
maybe Mr. Carr is still there, you reckon?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, he's quite I'm not a teenager anymore, but he was quite an older man then.
Oh, so, okay.
But he was very, I like them now.
Nice.
I was just going to say, Indigenous populations write like that, your last one, God takes naps, phrases and morals and a double understanding like you've got there. I think it mirrors what a lot of cultures around the world write about when they're reflecting on the history of their culture.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And I think something can be said for their attunement to nature in their belief structures. bit of power in that. As we were saying earlier, poetry, nature is poetry. Poetry, as we know, is powerful. And their belief structures, as you say, reflect that, as opposed to non-Indigenous peoples, perhaps, a more deity.
We'll take another break. That's wonderful work, Mark. We'll lead into another song. This one's called Scar Tissue by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And they rhyme a lot. Speaking of rhyming, which was our challenge when we were trying to find the songs for this show, Alan suggested, let's find some songs that rhyme. And I went to Scar Tissue and the Coldplay one because they're pretty good with rhyming.
Yeah.
Camilla was working overtime, audience, to find songs that rhymed, and then I let her off the hook and said, don't worry about it.
I was like, the Kiwi songs, please, and the listeners out there, if you know great Kiwi songs that with rhyming, please send us an email or, you know, contact us on Instagram because, yeah, I'm keen to find out who are the good rhymers in New Zealand.
Mm. So we'll take away and listen to this music. We'll be back soon.
Scar tissue that I wish you saw. Sarcastic, Mr. Know-it-all. I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cause with the birds I'll share. With the birds I'll share this lonely view. And with the birds I'll share this lonely view. And I'll push me up against the wall. Young tuck girl in a push-up bra. I'm falling all over myself to lift your heart. In case you're here, cause with the birds I shed it's a lonely view. And with the birds I shed it's a lonely view. And with the birds I shed it's a lonely view. Spoken with a broken jaw. Step outside but not to brawl. And autumn sweet wind, call it fall. I'll make it to the moon if I have to crawl. And with the birds and shed it's a lonely view.
Welcome back to Beyond Rhyme. People, hope you're enjoying yourselves. We've just got one segment to go and then it'll be over to the rest of your weekend. I thought I'd write a poem through public pressure. This one I thought was serious, but when I read it out at a writing group, they all laughed, so I don't know which way to take it, but you can take it any way you like. Birth, in thy womb I thee lay, my own world, moving from the embryo I pinch my skin, for the anxiety is high within. The pressure in my head propels me around as I grow bigger and bigger, seeking help and guidance from the placenta. Where do I go? How do I get out of here? Bouncy, bouncy, it's bad enough in here. Wriggling, letting go out. There I feel so much. My previous life's hurt. I yearn for serenity as my head goes round and round. This is going to be a difficult birth into a challenging life. Here we go, let's go. So it's actually a song about being inside the mum and growing, preparing for coming out into the world, whether it's a fantasy world or a really real, tough sort of world. So survival, yeah.
My previous life's hurt. Is that the line?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Mm.
And it's almost like that thing about being to be born, you know. It's crying, and when it comes out, you know, it's desperate to say, where am I? Yeah. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Wow, that took us there.
I really felt like it was, it made me feel rebirth or a life before life experience like a prequel.
Mm.
Or it also gave me the feeling of life change.
Yes.
Crossroads, metamorphosis,
mm.
you know, rebirth of oneself.
Mm.
Like that.
That is so interesting. And it almost makes you think that, like, were we fully conscious of everything and yes. we do learn?
Yes.
We do learn everything.
Yes, exactly.
I think
exactly.
that my previous lives hurt is the key line mm. to me. Mm. Wow, well, look at you. Look at yeah. you. And
I was just going to say, how long have you been writing for, Mark?
13 years, roughly.
Well, and you've got, have you thrown some out? I've thrown some out, unfortunately.
They weren't poems.
They weren't poems. Have you ever tried
wise.
To write? Have you ever tried to write a short story or a?
I'm currently working on this thing. There's a group of commandos currently stranded on a hill covered in snow, freezing. I'm not sure what's going to happen to them, but that's all that's happened so far.
I'm curious.
It's like three paragraphs long, and I've met, of course, the main character, because he's introduced me to one of his other squad, who apparently is a sniper, but that's all I know about these people. I don't even know what they're up to yet.
Mm.
So, yeah, hopefully that's the intent. That's when I sat down and created that much of it, that was the intent, but the time for working on that isn't come back around yet, so it'll happen.
Nice.
And have you got another poem for us?
Sure. This I wrote, it's called The Condiment of Life. Finding myself a patron at the restaurant of existence, encouraged to feast upon the menu of life with a daily persistence. The fare, it should be said, is extensive, its quality without doubt expensive. Though as I begin to sample this feast, fit for a king, I couldn't help notice it was missing a little something. To take it from regal quality fare to something extra nice, all it needed was a little of that heavenly spice, that one symbolised by the likes of a dove, that condiment of life we all call love.
Oh, gee, it's wonderful. You got a real gift there.
Yeah, you do.
Thanks, Gordon.
And it's a surprise. It's a surprise at the end to use the word love at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought a bit of a stretch too as I wrote it, even, because what spice is symbolised by dove? But it was the only bird I could think of to rhyme. Throw it in there. That little piece of that work was orchestrated, I'll admit to that. It wasn't just straight flow, but made sense.
But we like
that. That's about just you find yourself, because I don't know about you guys, I didn't ask to be here. I was born and I found myself here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With your heavy, with your previous lives heavy on you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same.
Yeah. And of course, everybody is encouraged to feast upon life by waking up the following morning. You know? Mm. What more encouragement do you need, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And life can be tough. Life can be, but we can all see that quality, you know, life is out there to be had, the ideal, you know.
Yeah.
So, but without doubt, it's expensive, you know, costs, and not monetarily. So, yeah, that's that poem and what it's about. Because at the end of the day, you can forego all that expensive stuff and still get to the end of the proverbial race saying, I lived a quality life because it was filled with love.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, you're providing to us here in the studio and to the listeners at home, I hope, a great, you know, a very high quality moment here. Yeah, because you're so sincere, you're so real, and we definitely sense that through your poetry. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah, I try to be light.
Yeah. So.
Any finishing comments?
Yeah, any finishing thoughts?
Thoughts.
The words one could use to express words. Hey, you know, I think we could all sit here and talk for hours
on
poetry and its effects. And so any finishing words? No, but I hate to finish talking about such a thing.
It's an ongoing chapter, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. A work in progress.
A work in progress.
Brilliant.
And are you writing a bit more regularly now than what you used to, or is it ebb and flow?
Ebb and flow. Like, it's all, as I said, all my writing is experience and emotion-based. So if I'm having quite a bit of a mundane portion of life, there's not a lot of writing going on. Now, if all I'm doing is Netflix and chill, it's, you know.
Mm.
So if anyone at home, you know, if we want to find out more about you and your work, do you have a social media or Instagram page
that we can find you? I'm just starting to look at starting a
Facebook
page.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not actually that technical savvy in my world. A Facebook page for Omar Khayyam, which is the name that I write under.
Omar Khayyam, so how do we spell that?
O-M-A-R, Omar, and then Khayyam is K-I-A-M. And where I got that name from is, I think, quite a funny wee story. Obviously, I would say most of us would be aware of the great Persian, I think he was, poet Omar Khayyam. He wrote the Rubaiyat. His name is spelt way differently to mine, but he is one of the greats. And so in homage to the great one, my name being Mark, I sort of play on words, as we do, I thought I will call myself Omar Khayyam. Is it homage to the great one, and also is a declaration of my actual name for Omar Khayyam.
Fantastic, yeah. Well, you're certainly one of the greatest guests that we've had here over the years, definitely.
Unfortunately, and we have to wind up the show.
Yeah, we do, But great to have you here, Mark.
It is the greatest radio show I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Too, by the way. And thanks for having me.
That's all right.
Excellent.
Great experience.
Yeah.
We'll leave it till next month, and we'll leave with another Dunedin band. They played in Christchurch recently. The Chills, Submarine Bells. Take it away.